Good evening, brothers and sisters. Good evening, friends. It's so good to be with you this evening. Thank you so much to Brian and to the elders for this opportunity to come along and give my testimony to tell you how I came to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure you can tell by now that I'm not from Northern Ireland, for those that don't know me. I was born just outside Glasgow, Dumbarton, the place I was born. I was born and brought up into a Roman Catholic family in that place. But before we go to the testimony, I would just like to read a portion of scripture from John's Gospel, chapter 3. And this is a portion of scripture that was very, very real and very powerful to me at the time that I was being saved. So John 3, beginning at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Dear friends, this was a portion of scripture that was very real to me. I came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ 27 years ago. It seems an awful long time, but really, in reality, it feels like about 4 or 5 years ago this happened to me. We've been so active and so busy since the day that the Lord saved us and changed us. As I said to you, I was born and brought up just outside Glasgow and into a Roman Catholic family. And my mother tried to bring me up the way that it was normal within that tradition. Saturday mornings, she would send me along to the confessional box where I would go in and I would confess my sins to the priest. And he would tell me to go in peace, that my sins were forgiven. You see, as a Roman Catholic in those days, and probably much the same today, we were never encouraged to get a Bible, to read a Bible, to find out the truth for ourselves. We always had to rely upon the priest and what he was telling us. Was it truth or was it not? We were never encouraged to buy a Bible or to check by some other means to see if what we were hearing was truth. So we didn't know that the Word of God said, who can forgive sins but God only? Only God can forgive our sins. I didn't know that, like many, many Catholics today. They don't realize that only God can forgive their sins. You know, when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense that when we have sinned against a holy God, how can a man forgive us? How can a man say that I'm forgiven for sinning against a holy God? He can't. And that's why the Word of God tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that we are all sinners, that we have all been born in sin and shaped in iniquity, that all have sinned, and that included myself. That included the priest who was telling me that my sins were now forgiven. But you know, that was the way of the Catholic Church when I was young, and it's still the way today. That whenever you sin against a holy God, he thinks he has the power and the right to tell you that your sins are forgiven. My mother tried to bring me up within that system, and for 18 years she was very successful. But I started to have many doubts as I went along that road. And one of the doubts was in relation to idolatry. I didn't know that the commandments told me not to make any idols of anything in heaven, anything in earth, or anything beneath the earth, and not to bow down to them and not to worship them. In my family, we did that. We had many idols within our family. And I suppose it's the same right across the Roman Catholic community, because they're encouraged to buy statues of Mary and statues of the saints and statues of who is meant to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And many Catholic families today have these idols, even though God absolutely forbids this. And not only do they have idols, but they bow down to them and they worship them. And today they try to tell us that they don't worship them, but they do worship them. We have always worshipped idols. We have always put these idols in the path of God. And because of that, we have sinned greatly against God. And how can we ask a man to forgive those sins when we have sinned against the one who created us, the one who loved us, and the one who died for us upon the cross? So I had all of these doubts about idols. And I remember speaking to the Lord one day, and I said, "Lord, do these things hear me? I seem to be praying to them, but nothing changes in my life. There's still problems within my family." I said, "Nothing has changed. Do these idols hear me?" And he never answered me until I got saved, because he pointed me to Psalm 115. And he told me that these things that you're praying to, they're made of silver and gold. Today they're made of absolutely anything that will make money. They're made of wood, they're made of plastic, they're made of all kinds of metal, paper, wood, and they're making a fortune and selling these idols. But the Lord says this: they have ears, but they can't hear. He said they have eyes, but they can't see. He said they have a mouth, but they can't speak. He said they have hands, but they can't handle, and feet, but they can't walk. He says, and those who make them and those who worship them are just like unto them. So the Lord answered my prayer some 30 years later that, no, these idols do not hear us. Why would we waste our time in praying to idols that are totally forbidden by God? Why would we waste our time making them? And why would we waste our time speaking to them at all, whenever we have a God in heaven whose ears are continually open to our cry? So I left the family home about 18 years of age, still in the Roman Catholic tradition, joined the army, and guess where they sent me? Over here. They sent me to Northern Ireland. That was quite a few years ago now. They sent me to Northern Ireland. Before I came to Northern Ireland, I had served in Berlin and through the army. I joined the army and I did a couple of years in Germany. Through my time in Germany, we guarded Rudolf Hess. We looked after Hitler's right-hand man, the deputy Führer. We guarded him in Spandau prison in Berlin until he died an old man. We also did the Berlin Wall duties, the patrols up and down the Berlin Wall when people were trying to escape from East Berlin into the West. We were meant to stop them, but I think they were more helped than stopped in those days. You know, I was in the army in those days. I left Berlin, came to Northern Ireland, and came to Northern Ireland as a young soldier, and served my time over here in the army, and left the army out of the frying pan into the fire. I joined the RUC then, and for the next 24 years I was going to be a policeman. For 18 of those years I worked with Mr. Paisley and his family at their home in Belfast. He didn't know in those days that there was a Roman Catholic protecting him and keeping him alive. And when he found that out, he had a real good laugh about it. And whenever I get saved and the Lord called me into service in Ukraine, Mr. Paisley and his family became great supporters of the Lord's work that we were doing then in Ukraine. But in those days, I was far from God. I was no longer that little Catholic boy who was seeking God in his own way, I have to add, in his own way. But we can't do it in our own way. If we're going to be seeking for God, we have to do it the Bible way, the biblical way. We have to do it God's way. If we want to look for God, if we want to be saved, if we want to be forgiven for our sins, we don't do it the church way. We don't do it our own way. We have to do it according to the precious word of God. And I wasn't doing that in those days. But as I worked with Mr. Paisley, I remember a young Christian came to work with me. And the moment that he came into the police station, he just told everybody that he was a born-again Christian. And everybody had a good laugh at him. And I remember laughing at him. But when the laughing stopped, I said to myself, what is a born-again Christian? What does that actually mean? And Joe became a good friend of mine. He lived in Newton Ards, just round the corner from my house. So we used to travel back and forward to work together. And every time I would get into the car, he would start to talk about his Savior. He just loved his Savior. And he wanted to tell me all about Jesus Christ. I would then tell him about what the priest had said and what I believed. 2 years later, he was still working with me. And we'd become good friends. I remember everything came to a head one day in the police station. He wasn't talking to me that day. I had an alcohol problem in those days, and I had been drinking that day. And he wasn't talking to me. He'd fallen out with me. But this gave me an opportunity to look at this young Christian and to see that he was somebody completely different from the rest of the policemen that I knew. He didn't drink. He didn't use bad language. He didn't smoke. He didn't gamble. He didn't do all these normal so-called things that the world does. Instead, he had a Bible. He used to sit and read his Bible. He used to pray. He used to go to church. And all of that was very alien to me. But I remember in the silence of the police station that day, I asked him a question. I said, Joe, you called yourself a born-again Christian. What does it mean to be born again? He said, are you sure? Do you really want to know what it means to be born again? And if you look at verse 3, the Lord Jesus Christ said, except a man is born again, he can never get to heaven. So this was really in the back of my mind. I didn't really understand any of this. I used to think, how can a man be born again? But since then, I have found out that in order to be born again, it just means that you become a believer, that you're saved, that you become a Christian. And I says to him, how can I get to that point where I know that I can go to heaven? He said, first of all, I want to ask you some questions. The first question is this. Do you believe that you're a sinner? And dear friends, I want to ask you the same questions that he asked me that day. Do you realize that you are a sinner? Because this is the first step on your road to salvation. This is your first step on your road to heaven, that we must acknowledge that we are sinners in the eyes of a holy God. And I said, yes, I do believe that. I know that I am a sinner. Friend, do you realize that you are a sinner also? Secondly, he said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for your sins upon the cross? I said, yes, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he did die for my sins upon the cross. And friends, I'm asking you that same question. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And do you believe that he went to the cross where he suffered and where he shed his precious blood and where he died upon the cross for the sins of the world? Do you believe that? Because if you don't believe that, you can never be saved. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he suffered and that he died upon that cross for your sin, then you can never, ever be saved. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we must believe that he died for our sin. Thirdly, he said, do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day? And I said, yes, I do believe that. And friends, I'm asking you that same question. The Word of God tells us that we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must believe that he suffered, shed his blood, and died upon the cross. And the Word of God said that if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day, we shall be saved. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ not only died for our sins, but rose again from the dead on the third day? Because if you believe that, you can be in heaven this very evening. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, put your trust in him. Let him deal with the sin in your life. Don't give it to me, because you'll die a sinner if you give it to me. If you give it to the priest, you'll die a sinner. But if you give it to the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll apply his precious blood that was shed on the cross, and he will apply that to your sinful heart and sinful life, and he'll have you ready for glory one day. I remember I was 4 hours speaking to my friend in the police station that day. Eventually, I got away from him, and I felt as though I was being torn in two that day. I didn't know, I didn't understand what was going on at that time. But I got into the police car, and we drove into Belfast. We were going to do VCPs. We were stopping cars because of a robbery in Belfast. And I remember stepping out of the police car in Belfast, and this man just appeared in front of me. And he said, "Son, have you been born again?" And I looked at him. I couldn't understand what was happening. And I said, "Yes, I have." And then I said, "No, I haven't." He said, "You must be born again." And he disappeared. I've never seen him to this day. But the Lord kept me under very strong conviction that day. He'd made sure that I knew that I must be born again, or I was going to a lost eternity. I went home that night, and my friend gave me a little booklet home with me. And it talked about sin. It talked about the Savior. It talked about salvation. As I sat at home that night, Jacqueline was in the hospital. The children were playing in the garden. And I sat and I opened this book. I wanted to find out how that I could get to heaven. It talked about sin, first of all. It showed me that I was indeed a terrible, terrible sinner. And how that the Lord Jesus Christ was the only Savior of men. How that he died for that sin. There was no other Savior. That he is the only one who died for our sin. And then it talked about the Savior. You see, I was brought up to believe that there was no salvation outside of the Roman Catholic Church. That unless you become a Roman Catholic, you'll end up in hell. But this book was pointing me to the Word of God and telling me that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And it told me that 2,000 years ago, an angel made the greatest announcement that this world has ever heard. "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Not Mary, not the priest, not the Pope, not the pastor, not the minister, but our Lord Jesus Christ himself was born to be the Savior of the world. And as I was reading this, I felt my heart being strangely warmed as I read this, as I realized for the first time that Jesus Christ is my only hope. And then it came to the very last part about salvation. It told me that if I was to repent of my sins and change my mind about Jesus Christ, that God would forgive my sin and that I could be in heaven. I came to the end of that little booklet, and it said, "If you want to be saved, pray this little prayer." You know, I didn't even know how to pray. I was such a heathen. I didn't know how to pray. I had never prayed in my life except to a statue or a crucifix. And now I was being asked to pray the most important prayer. I didn't even know where to begin. But there was one thing I did know. I now knew that I was a sinner. And I also knew that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And I knew that if I was just to repent, that means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God would transform my life and that he would blot out all of my sins. I prayed that little prayer that night 26 years ago. Thank God that the Lord just looks into your heart. He can see how real we are, how genuine that we are. And dear friend, if you're not saved and you're sitting in a car here tonight, or maybe you're sitting in a house nearby, if you will just call upon the name of the Lord, do exactly what I've already told you. Just believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins and that he rose again from the dead the third day. And if you believe that with all of your heart, the Word of God tells us that you can be saved tonight. I repented 27 years ago. The Lord transformed my life. I remember going into the kitchen after I had repented and pouring all the alcohol down the sink. And I said, "Lord, I need your help. I don't know you. I don't even know really what I've done. But I do know that you loved me and died for me. And I want to trust in you." I went to work the next morning in the police station. And I went in and told everybody that I had got saved. And, well, I was one of the boys, so you can imagine you take a lot of stick, but isn't it worth it? They had a good laugh at my expense. Because my name is Donald and I was going to the Baptist church, they called me Don the Baptist. But sure, we can endure a little bit of leg pulling and a wee bit of a laugh with them. That was 27 years ago. They said to me, look, don't worry. We understand what's happened to you, and you'll be okay in about 3 weeks, and you'll be back with us again. You'll be back with the boys again. That was nearly 27 years ago, so I hope they're still not waiting on me. The Lord Jesus Christ started his work in me immediately. And praise the Lord, I just thank him tonight. I love him so much. He went to work in my life immediately. He took away the alcohol problem, the gambling problem, and all of the other problems that I had. He took them all away. Don't worry, I've still got plenty of other problems, but the Lord's dealing with them also, so he is. You know, I came to faith that night. I remember telling Jacqueline, my wife. Now, Jacqueline was brought up into a Christian family. So although Jacqueline wasn't a Christian herself, her mother and father and two sisters were. So for Jacqueline to have got married to a Roman Catholic was a little bit strange in a family. But that Christian family welcomed me into their family, and they were so good and so gracious to me. And down throughout the years, Jacqueline would tell me, if only you would get saved, God could help you and change your life. And here I was trying to tell Jacqueline, I've repented. I've accepted Jesus Christ into my life. But you know something? She wouldn't believe me. Because of all the lies and deceit that I had put her through over the years, Jacqueline wasn't too quick to believe even when I said I'd become a Christian. It took a few days for her to notice that there was no more bad language, there was no more gambling, there was no more drinking. Instead, she phoned her sister, he's reading a Bible, what's happened to him? And she laughed and says, well, hopefully he's saved. And hopefully it wasn't good enough, I was truly saved. But Joe had bought me a Bible. I had never had a Bible before. I didn't know that the Bible was the Word of God himself. I didn't know that. And now that I was saved, I sat down with the Word of God. At 38 years of age, I opened the Bible at the front page, and I just fell in love with the Word of God. I had never heard the Bible stories that you heard as you were growing up in Sunday school, or in your children's meetings, or in your ordinary Sunday services. We never had that privilege. We never had that blessing. So this was all brand new to me. As I was hearing all these Bible stories that little 4 and 3 and 4 and 5 year old children already knew by heart, I was learning them all for the very first time. I ended up reading the Bible for 17 hours a day for the next 6 years. I couldn't stop reading the Word of God. I fell in love with the Bible. And dear friends, you know something? You have been blessed over these years to have been brought up with the truth of God's Word. Don't take it for granted. Don't waste those years of hearing all of that truth, and yet you still turn against God. You've been brought up to know the truth. You've been brought up to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to love him and to serve him. You don't know how blessed you have been. I remember on a Sunday when we were out playing in the street at 3 o'clock, all the kids, all the Protestant kids used to disappear at the same time. And I says, where are you all going? They said, we're going to Sunday school. I said, what happens there? They says, we learn and we hear about stories about Jesus Christ. And I remember feeling so sad, because I wanted to hear those stories as a young child, but we would never have been allowed to have went to listen to those stories. So dear friends, you have been blessed over your years. You have been brought up to know the truth and to love the Savior. Continue in that truth and continue to serve him. Now that I was saved, the Lord called my attention to my family in Scotland. But first of all, my immediate family, Jacqueline, came to faith 3 weeks after me, and my daughter Laura about 3 or 4 weeks after her. So the Lord was moving in my family. He was blessing our family. Then he drew attention to my family in Scotland who were lost in their sin. And I went over, sadly it was for my grandmother's funeral. And we went into the chapel for the funeral. And Jacqueline says, what do I do? I've never been in a chapel before. I said, look, just do what I do. I says, don't be singing, don't be taking part in anything that takes place. We're just here to pay our respects to my grandmother. And we went in and we didn't join in the service in any way, but we sat there. And at the end of it, my father came to me and says, "Go away and never return here again. You've brought shame upon the family. We never want to see you again or hear from you again." And I remember thinking, is this the price of following Christ? That your family will turn their back on you? That your family will tell you to go away, that they never want to see you again? And yes, dear friend, that is the price of following Christ. The world hated him. And he said that the world is going to hate you also. Because if you love him, the world will hate you. You know something? The Lord Jesus Christ said, if you want to be my disciple, they said you have to deny yourself. You have to take up your cross and you have to follow me. That's the price. To follow Christ, it doesn't come cheaply. To follow Christ can mean losing your family. It can mean losing your job. And in some countries, it can mean losing your life. Praise the Lord that I just lost my family. That it wasn't any more extreme than that. That was bad enough. But I remember struggling with that because I was a new believer. But the Lord spoke to me in Psalm 27. He said, when your father and mother forsake you, then I will take you up. And brothers and sisters, dear friends, what a precious time that was. As the Lord drew me closer to him and wrapped those loving arms around me and held me in place in those very early days. Then I tried to contact my family, but they didn't want anything to do with me then. They said the next time that I hear from them, somebody will be dying. I got the call that my mother was dying. Now, my mother was a very devout Roman Catholic lady. She was extremely devout. Chapel 6 days a week, working in the charity shops, doing all of these wonderful works. She was a great Roman Catholic lady, and she loved God in her own way. But then again, we can't love him in our own way. We have to love him in God's way. And this is where it was all going wrong for her. She was going to Lourdes, to the shrines in Lourdes. She was going to Knock and to the shrines in Knock and all the other shrines of Mary throughout the world. She thinking that this would gain her favor with God and one day she would be in heaven. We arrived in Scotland into my mother's home, and she was in bed. She had cancer. She was struggling to breathe. I tried talking to her, but there was no response. And the Lord left me on my own with her for a short time. And I remember taking her by the hand, and I said, "Lord, please don't let my mother die in front of me like this and go to hell. I said, please help her. You've brought me here for a reason. Don't let my mother die in front of me like this and go to hell. Help her. Show her, give her one more opportunity to accept the truth of your precious word. Not the truth of what she's been told for the last 70 years, but the truth of your precious word." I had managed to speak to her a couple of times over the years about her repenting and following the Lord Jesus Christ. But now as I prayed this prayer, there was nothing. And, you know, you can almost give up hope. But I remember reading that we never give up hope, that we have to hang on to God till the end. And after about half an hour, she opened her eyes and I propped her up in the pillow. And she says, "Donald, I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior." Dear friends, this is why I love the Lord. I love my Savior so much. He not only saved me and my wife and my daughter, but he saved my mother from the very brink of a lost eternity. You know, whenever I came away from my mother's home, I started to think a little bit deeper as to why this happened that night. And this is what I come up with. You know, as she was drifting closer and closer to a lost eternity, I believe that she started to remember things. I believe the Holy Spirit was convicting her, challenging her. "Do you believe that all of your work in the charity shop is enough to get you to heaven? Where is Mary now? You've adored her, you've worshipped her for all of these years. Where's the priest now that you call upon him? Where is the Pope that you went to visit? Where are all these people that you depended on for your salvation. Where are they now that you're so close to death? And my mother could only come up with one answer. They're not there. They're gone. They don't exist anymore. And dear friends, but the Holy Spirit reminded her of the words that I had told her, that Jesus Christ died for her sins and rose again from the dead. And if she just believes with all of her heart, she can be saved. She believed that evening, dear friends. She believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord saved her. I remember just before she passed away, it was great to sit down with my mother and do a daily reading, something that would never have happened in my family. I remember the night that she passed into glory, that my sister said, "Mom, do you want me to get the priest?" And what she said next are words that I would never hear my mother ever speaking. She says, "No, I don't need the priest anymore." Do you know why she didn't need the priest? Because she now had a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And dear friends, this is what makes the difference. If you're following any priest tonight, give it up quickly. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can help you. If you're following any pastor or any minister or any missionary, give it up. Not one of them can help you on that road to salvation. Yes, they can tell you the truth, but they can't save you. Dear friends, my mother came to faith that night. Eventually, after 70 years of Roman Catholicism, 70 years of good works and visiting all the shrines, eventually she realized that it was only Jesus Christ that could help her. As she drifted closer and closer to a lost eternity, she realized that all of her works were in vain. Not one of them could help her. Not one of them could save her. But praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit reminded her that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of men. And if you just believe in him, he can help you. I remember her passing into glory that night. I never had a relationship with my mother on this earth, but you know, I'll see her again, thanks to the grace of God. One of the questions that we always asked in the Roman Catholic Church, and one of the questions that I have asked priests since that day, is this: can I know that I am saved? Can I know that I am on my way to heaven? Because I remember asking that question a number of years ago, and the priest told me, no one can know. No one can know if they're saved. No one can know if they're ever going to be in heaven. Dear friends, listen to what John says in 1 John. If you look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, it destroys all these lies that the devil tells us, that no man can know that you have eternal life. This is what John the Apostle said in verse 12. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Dear friend, I want to ask you a question before we finish here tonight. Do you have the Son in your life? Has your life changed since you believed in him? Because the Word of God tells us that when we believe in him, everything changes. All the old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You will know that you are saved because your life will change. And I want to tell you this, that if your life hasn't changed and you're still walking the old roads, then it's very unlikely that you're saved, and it's very unlikely that you've been born again. He that have the Son has life. Your life changes. You develop a love for the Word of God, for the people of God, for the house of God, for service of God. Your whole life changes. All these desires come to your life that you never had before as an unbeliever. Your life will change if you have the Son of God in your life. But it also says, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You will know if you have the Son of God in your life through what I've just said. And if you have not got the Son of God in your life, the Word of God tells us that you do not have eternal life abiding in you tonight. Well, you do. You have eternal life, but in a lost eternity. You don't have eternal life in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. And John said this in verse 13. Now listen carefully to this, because this shows you without a shadow of a doubt that when we repent and believe in Jesus Christ, we can leave this meeting tonight knowing that we're going to heaven. Maybe you're listening online and you've been wondering about this. Maybe the priest has told you what he told me, that no man can know. Well, I want to show you different, and I want to show you from the Word of God what the Bible says. 1 John 5 and verse 13. John said, these things have I written unto you. What things has he written unto us? He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. John said, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. John says, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God. Do you believe in the Son of God here tonight? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? Do you believe that he came into this world and died for your sins upon that cross? Do you believe that he rose again from the dead? If you can say yes to that, the Apostle John says, ye have eternal life. Isn't it wonderful to know that you can drive out of this car park tonight knowing that you're saved, knowing that your sins have been blotted out, knowing that you have peace with God, and knowing that one day you're on your way to heaven. You no longer have to worry about hell ever again. Dear friend, if you're sitting in the car and you've never taken this step to believe on the name of the Son of God, the Word of God tells us, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And the moment that you believe with a genuine belief and a genuine sorrow in your heart, God will blot out all of your sins and he will transform your life. Dear friend, maybe you're listening in online again. The priest has told you this, or people have told you that, that we can never know that we have eternal life. Do we believe people or do we believe God? The Word of God tells us that if we will just believe the things that have been written, believe in the name of the Son of God, then we will know deep down in our hearts right at this very minute that we have eternal life abiding in us. You can leave here tonight with Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can leave here tonight knowing that your sins have been dealt with, and praise the Lord that they'll never, ever be mentioned or brought before you again. Because God says, if you will believe in my Son, he said, I will cast your sins into the depth of the sea. He said, and your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. That's what God wants to do for you tonight. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has already done for you upon that cross at Calvary. And now the choice is yours. Dear Christian friend, continue to serve him. Look at what the Savior has done for you. Continue to love him with all of your heart. He took your punishment upon that cross and he died for your sin. Will you continue to love him? Will you continue to walk with him and serve him? Give the Savior everything that you've got. Dear unsaved friend, you're sitting here again tonight. You've been listening so many times at the things that Jesus Christ has done for you. Do you want to accept him tonight? Come and speak to us. Come and speak to one of the elders of the church here. Come and believe in him. And dear friend, you're listening online. You have the opportunity before you close your computer just to bow your heart and just to beg God's forgiveness for the sin that's in your life. And the Lord said, if you will do that, if you will come believing that you can close your computer tonight, you can rise up from your sofa, and you can leave with peace in your heart, sins forgiven, and on your way to glory one day. Dear friends, may God give you the help that you need to do just that. Don't be walking away from the Savior tonight. He's given you another opportunity to hear the good news of the gospel. Please don't be walking away another time. Tonight, may this be the night of your salvation, and may you believe in the Son of God to know whom is life eternal. And may God give you the help to do just that. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for your love. We thank you, Father, for the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We thank thee, Father, that no matter what man will tell us, we thank you that we have the truth in the Word of God. Father, we pray tonight for the ones who are in Christ, the ones who are already born again, for the ones who are saved. Father, may they continue to follow after the Savior. May they continue to serve you. Father, for those listening tonight still outside of Christ, Father, help them. They've heard the gospel so many times. Father, we pray tonight that this was explained clearly to them, that they need to have the Son of God in their life, that they just need to repent and believe in the Savior, and their sin will be blotted out. Father, give them that grace tonight that would enable them to come to faith in your precious Son. So, Father, thank you for your precious word. Glorify your own great name and the salvation of precious souls, and we'll give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much, dear friends, for coming along tonight. And may the Lord take you home safely. Remember, if you're not saved, don't be going. Stay in the car, and we'll come over. And from a distance, we will talk to you, and we can point you to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God bless you. Thank you so much.